few weeks ago, my wife sent me on a mission to Kohl's department store. There was a purse that she was interested in, and our Kohl's didn't offer it. To order it online at home would cost shipping charges of close to $9, and if you went and you ordered it online in the store, you could avoid those shipping charges. So I marched off to Kohl's to do the deed. The purse started at $80, but it was on sale for $29.99. I had $20 worth of Kohl's cash on me as I went over to the store. There was a problem with their computer system. I spent a long time, one associate, they handed me off to another associate. Finally, the manager got involved. I was there twice in that day trying to get, if you'd come back later, then I'm sure the computer will be working better. And by the end of the day, these people felt so sorry for me, and they were so sick of me. They said, if you'll go home and order it online, we will refund to you any shipping charges that are incurred there. And it'll be fine. So went home, handed it off to Barb. She spent much of the evening, she's an insomniac, and she spent much of the night searching out because our Kohl's cash was to expire the next day. So this is an emergency. And she's online and she searches it out and she goes through the same kind of rigmarole. Almost get there and then it would crash or something. And then finally she got through and found out they're out of stock. Oh. So for her trouble, Kohl's.com issued her a $5 coupon that she could use. But you got to know my wife. This is one persistent lady. She went back to the computer and she found one purse in a Kohl's in Maryland. And so she ordered it online from that store and they would ship it to her, but they would not accept the $5 coupon that was just issued to her. So the purse finally came and we marched off to our Kohl's, purse in hand, $5 coupon on the iPhone and all of that, went over. Found the manager. He remembered me. Barb started telling about this $5 coupon, and he started pushing buttons. And this computer started spitting out pieces of paper this way and that way. And finally, he said, okay, your grand total, you'll owe us $1.98 for the purse. Now, here's the best part. Barb loves the purse and has no intention of returning it. Is God good or what? This is the day of miracles, I'm telling you. Life is full of frustrations, but there's a place we can be refreshed from life's trials. Now, let me give you a hint. It's not in a department store. Verse 18 of chapter 33 of Exodus. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads this morning and we utter the same prayer Moses did. Show up, God. Now show us you. Show us your glory. Of things we've had our fill, but yet we hunger still. Empty and bare, Lord, hear our prayer for more of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I leap ahead in our series on the Exodus in order to accommodate this message because it's beginning our week of fasting together. Moses has met with God in the wilderness, and the Lord has convinced him to go back to Egypt and deliver Israel from their slavery. The battle to free the slaves was quite fierce. Moses went in before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And Moses cracked down on the slaves. Moses was loved. Moses was hated. God sends a plague. Pharaoh repents. God pulls the plague back. Pharaoh hardens. Happens 9 times. Finally, on the 10th plague, the firstborn of Egypt die, including Pharaoh's own son. And Pharaoh rushes them out of Egypt. Get out of here. Don't want to see you again. Leave and don't come back. A few days later, Pharaoh has a change of heart. We just lost our workforce. What were we thinking? Let's go get him. And so he puts his armor on and mounts in his chariot and gets all of his troops together, and they rush after the Israelites. The Red Sea parts, and Israel walks across on dry ground. The Egyptians try to follow. The walls crush in and drown every last one of them. The Israelites are dancing on the other side. Woohoo! And then there's a series of trials. Not enough water. We want some more food. Oh, the Amalekites attack. One obstacle after another, but God provides a miracle for each one. And finally, Israel arrives at Mount Sinai and camps there for a year. In that place, God reveals himself in magnificent ways, gives them the rules for living in the promised land, and also instructions for completing the tabernacle where they will worship the Lord. During that time, Moses spends an extended period of time up with God on the mountain. 40 days, 40 nights, and somewhere in there, the people began to grumble. We don't know what happened to this Moses fellow. What are we supposed to do? You know what they did. They formed a golden calf and began to worship it. It's one of those moments. And as they worship this calf, Moses becomes outraged. But more importantly, God is outraged. And our text this morning takes place in the aftermath of the golden calf incident. God is fed up and he tells Moses, I'm sick of these people. I'm going to give you an angel. I promised you a promised land, so I'm going to give you an angel who will lead you straight through the desert and get you to the promised land, and you'll have everything I told you you will have. But I myself can no longer travel with you folk. I am not going to be present in your camp like that any longer. And Moses says, if you're not going, I'm not going either. You see, Moses didn't have these dreams in his mind of a large farm with some sheep and some cattle and a stream running down the middle and a pond where he could fish. That was not his paradise. That was not what he was after. If he wanted a peaceful life in a quiet place, he'd have never left Midian. He had his sheep. He had his grazing place. Moses was only here for one reason, and he'd only gotten this far because this is where God was. He was following the Lord. Other people in Israel, they had that dream. Oh, the ranch. You know, I get myself a couple of good horses and breed them, and I'll do this and I'll do that. But Moses only had one thought in mind. He'd been to the top of the mountain. He'd been in the presence of the Lord. And he wanted more of that. Nothing on earth could compare to being in the very presence of God. So Moses sets his feet firm, looks up to God and says, if you aren't gone, neither am I. And something magnificent happens in that moment. Moses had been upset at the people. And then he was distraught that God wasn't coming along. God was outraged. He was ready to kill several million people. You get that's pretty angry? And because Moses won't go anywhere without God and won't even go without the people, God has a change of heart. He goes from to saying, I will do the very thing you ask because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. Isn't that pretty amazing? Think about that just for a moment. The heart of one person, the right heart before God. Talk about antacid. When God gets angry, take two Moseses and call me in the morning, you know? Find a person who has your heart. That really wasn't even Moses. That was God's heart in Moses. But Moses had become close enough to the Lord. He had become infected with that same love and mercy and grace that God saw it in his child and loved it, and it turned away the wrath in that moment. Now, I got to say, that's a pretty big win. Wouldn't you say that? That's a pretty big win. God says, step back. I'm ready. And he gets to the place where, okay, all right, I'm not going to kill anybody. I'll go with you. That's a pretty big win. And every fiber of my being cries out, don't push it, Mo. Be happy. Say thank you. But Moses goes in with one more request. Now show me your glory. A moment ago, God wasn't in such a glorious mood. It was fire. But Moses saves a nation. See what I'm saying? His promised land. I've been in the presence and I want to get back there. Moses, you just saved a nation. What are you going to do now? I'm going to Disney World. No. I want more of God. So often when we have a win or a victory in God, we go the other direction. We relax, we slack, we... Now Moses, he pressed in a little harder. If you knew you really had God's ear and favor, what would you ask him for? If you knew you really had God's ear, he's listening right now. And he's tickled with you. And he says, what would you like? What would you ask for? You see, this question is really important because it reveals our heart. What do you really treasure the most in all of your life? It also reveals what we've learned since we've come to Christ. Because if we've been listening, then we've learned that more of God brings everything else. Ask for more of him. Because when you get God, you get it all. The Lord delights to bless. And if we've really been listening and paying attention, we've learned that more stuff does not in and of itself bring happiness. It's good for a while, but brings stress. If we're smart, we'll ask for more of him. If we're wise, that will become the thirst of our heart. Become the thirst of our heart. I want more and more and more. This is the essence of the Christian faith, okay? More of God. What do you want? I want more of God. What do you want? I want more of God. More of God. More. That's why we come to this place. We don't come here saying, I think I need to be more religious. You got any trinkets or rituals I can do? We don't come here saying, you know, I kind of need to clean up my language. I kind of need to do this. I kind of need to do maybe a little bit of that's in there. But you can't do that. That's why we're here. I can't do that. That's why I'm here. I get more of God. He cleans me up. I get more of God. He takes care of all my issues. What I need in this place is not reformation. I need transformation. I need to be in the presence again. I've been there before, and I want to get there again. How about you? I need more and more and more of God. And that's what we do in this place. That's why we're here. That's why we come. More of you, O Lord. We've been to the mountain, and now we want a little bit more. We've gotten a taste of his presence, his glory, his essence. It's become the very nectar of our lives. We're kind of like junkies. We go from one God moment to another. I can't wait to be back in his presence. Oh, there's a gap in between, but hopefully that finds us being faithful. As we walk by faith and not by sight, we're doing the things God wants us to do. We're doing what he's empowered us to do. But, oh, I'm hungry. Lord, I'm thirsty for a mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Amen? We are in a Pentecostal church. We are in a church where it was founded on a principle of meeting with God, not going through a series of rituals and here's how we're going to do church and here's your bulletin and follow along, stand at this point and kneel down at that point. Wouldn't you love it if we were just at a point where God just knocked us over for a little while? Let him be the orchestrator of it all. Sadly, most of us who come to church come for a religious fix rather than an encounter with the divine. Do you know the difference? We've punched our celestial time. Well, I'm in church this morning, God. Aren't you pleased with that? Hey, mark that down. I expect to have a better week this week because I was in church this Sunday. And God, did you know it? I put a $5 bill in the offering plate. Yeah, I did. And God, did you notice I smiled at the person that took my parking place? Yeah. The Lord is looking for hungry hearts to fill, for the few in each congregation looking for more of him. Is your heart hungry today? And maybe it wasn't coming in. That's all right. But can you feel the hunger in Moses? Can you remember? How long has it been since you've gotten caught up and lost in the moving of the Holy Spirit? Don't offer up excuses. Don't blame anybody. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, God, pour out your Spirit in this place. I believe that 9/11 was a warning from God about having his protection lifted up off of our nation. And I believe we stand at a crossroads where the Lord is offering to us, you know what? If you want to be a nation like all the other nations, if that's what you want, go ahead. Remember when Israel said, we want a king so we can be like everybody else? America, if you want to be like everybody, just a nation, just a worldly nation, just a secular nation, if that's what you want, then go ahead. See how far you get. Being number one in all the world, thinking you're so safe and so mighty and so strong. We need to set our feet and let him know, if you're not going with us, we're not going anywhere. We don't want another new this and a better that. What I want is more of you. What I need is more of you. What I love is more and more. In fact, Lord God, if you want to take some of the stuff we have off of us, that's all right. But bring us back to your altars, Lord God, back to the fire, the warmth, the love, the heart, the mercy, the grace of our God. Let's seek his face and his heart, not his hand. So many people use religion to wrench another thing out of God's hand. Well, God, this, I want that, and would like to have the other. But what if we forgot all about what we want or need and just sought him? Just sought him. Moses was one man that stood in between the wrath of God and the sin of the people. One person. What about you? Has your love for God cooled? Has it gone stone cold? Are you living off a reputation of a love for God? Or is your love fresh this morning? A week of fasting and prayer is meaningless if it's about getting what you want, or cleansing your body, or hating your pastor for even mentioning it. God told me to tell you, this is an invitation, not a duty. You are invited. You are not compelled. This is not compulsory. We're not going to check your membership card next week and ask you, okay, you fasted how many days, you get so many punches, free hot dog at the campfire. No. He said he will meet us if we will come. The Lord told Moses to leave Midian, go to Egypt. He told Gideon to trim his ranks until the odds against him were impossible against the Midianites. The Lord told Samson, don't cut your hair. Ezekiel to eat a starvation diet. Hosea to marry a prostitute. Isaiah to walk around naked for a year. And Paul to go to Jerusalem, even though he'd be arrested there. Spend a week getting back to the basics of your faith. Spend a week finding God. Develop a fresh desire for the Lord. Ask him what he wants from you. For this week, for 40 days early next year, for the rest of your life. How much time do you have? None of us knows. But, oh God, I want to spend it right. I remember Paul's words, you spend enough time. The King James uses the word like dissipation. But you spend enough time on yourself. It's time to lean into God now. Amen? It's time for us to lean into God. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's sing our chorus. Let's sing it as a prayer.